With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Volume.
All right, the NBA season is in full swing. Coming down the stretch, then we move right into the playoffs in April, May, and June. I can't wait. Spice things up with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA right now. All you have to do is put down $5 and get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Pretty good trade-off. I pay $5, I get $150. North Carolina listeners, do not forget. Welcome to the party. DraftKings Sportsbook now live in your state, North Carolina. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Takes 90 seconds. The code is Colin, C-O-L-I-N. Again, 90 seconds. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app. Put in Colin. New customers bet $5. Get $150 back in bonus bets instantly. That is the trade. All right? The code is always Colin. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Draymond Green Show. A lot of good basketball over the weekend. We'll get into that. Back with another episode on Bleacher Report app live. So shout out to all y'all out there checking it out. If you are checking it out, make sure you drop some questions in the chat. We'll get to those at the end of the show. And then also, please go subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/@@ Draymond Green Show. Check that out. Lock in. Keep bringing you content. Let's get into these topics, though. Number one on the list is the Suns losing game 4, 122-116 to the Timberwolves in a sweep. And if I'm honest, the Suns is always a touchy one for me, because I'm a little conflicted. I want to see the Suns do well. Matt Ishbia, a Spartan dog, became the owner of the Phoenix Suns franchise about a year ago. So I'm always rooting for Ish. Book, man, I'm always rooting for Book. You know, I've talked to y'all a million times about, you know, my love for Book and wanting to see him succeed. And Book got that seriousness to him that you need from your star players in order to win in these big moments. And I really want to see that happen for him. I think Book is in year 8 now, if I'm not mistaken, year 7 or 8. You know, and the thing about Book is Book window started a while ago, and he's been so good for, you know, since coming into the league. He's, you know, when his rookie year started, wasn't playing a ton, and you can quickly see he was the best player on the team. And before you know it, the ball was in his hands, and, you know, it's been in his hands since. And so, you know, I don't want to see Book get to that point where people start writing him off as if he's not one of the guys because he is one of them guys. And so there, man, I got nothing but love for Brad. You know, I wanted to see, just seeing Brad compete yesterday. He fouled out trying to guard Anthony Edwards. And I talked to y'all before about what I think needed to happen in that series. And Brad went down swinging. And everybody will say, oh, man, he had 9 points and blah, blah, blah. Like, now, brother was guarding Anthony Edwards. And so if you go back to what I said about what Kevin Durant needed to do, Kevin Durant needed to go take on that challenge. And the reasons I said that, one of the things that I did say when I gave the reasonings was Kevin should not focus on offense. Kevin should lock in on Anthony Edwards on the defensive end, play a role on the offensive end, get what comes to him on the offensive end because he's still Kevin Durant. So the defense is going to overreact, but lock in on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, whether that's spotting up, whether that's, you know, getting your spot every now and then on the offensive end, but your main focus shouldn't be on the offensive end because I don't think that's what the team would need at that point. With Grayson Allen being out, a lot of that changes because they're missing about 15 to 20 points from Grayson Allen. They're missing some floor spacing that Grayson Allen provides. They're missing, you know, Grayson Allen's presence. And so I do understand it a little more from that standpoint, but essentially what I'm getting at is that's essentially what happened to Brad Beal. Brad Beal is so focused on trying to take Anthony Edwards out the game, legs gone, came hit a shot, it started spiraling for him fast, foul trouble, but he went down swinging, and I got to respect that. And unfortunately, that is all, folks. That is all. I'm not sure which tweet aged worse. Shout out to my man Kuz. I love Kuz. Got nothing, you know, known Kuz for many, many moons. Kuz is a truth teller. Kuz is a real one. And there's no secret that Kuz's tweet about not being the team did not age well this year. It just didn't age well. Washington struggled a bit this year. Finished with almost identical records to the Detroit Pistons after Kuz's tweet. And so the tweet spoiled fast for Kuz, though. Like, it spoiled fast. And ironically, the tweet may have spoiled even faster from the Big Softy. Big Softy wanted to tweet after we lost, you know, wanted to post pictures. That tweet spoiled so fast. Like, that's spoiled milk. And, yeah, that is all, folks. So, you know, you got to be really careful when you're not that successful and you try to take jabs at people because you really don't, when you really don't have control of your own success, you know, when you don't play a large enough role in your team's success, when you can't really affect the outcome of the game, like you can go have 20 rebounds and lose a game, you know, like, when you really don't affect the outcome of the game, it's really tough to take jabs at people because you got a jab and then, like, you can't affect, you know, what your end result is, you know. And so, yeah, the Big Softy bowed out. You know, Rudy Gobert played great. Hey, by the way, Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns, it's been in the league maybe 8 years, 8 to 10 years for both of them, give or take. And what Anthony Edwards has taken those guys and done is absolutely amazing. Like, Rudy actually not trash anymore. Like, and I think it's like a lot of people agree that he just wasn't, like, he defends now, and ironically, you know, he got all the defensive player. But I mean, like, when you see him on the switches, he's up at the level. He's not just sitting back in the drop no more. When he gets switched on to the guy, it's like his antennas pop on. Like, oh, I got to sit down. And, like, they're about to go at me, and I'm guarding. And I think it's been interesting to watch because he is actually impacting winning. And he's actually doing that on the defensive end, whereas opposed to other series, he's gotten played off the floor. Although Phoenix went small at times to try to get back in the game, there were times that they still played Rudy on Royce O'Neal. before, if you win five guards, there was no chance Rudy Gobert can play. Like 0% chance. Even if you win a big that can stretch the floor, a big that can move, there was 0% chance that he could play. And those things have changed. And if I'm honest, I don't think at this point that was a change in ability. That is a change in what's required of you. And quite frankly, like even if you listen to Ant's press conference last night, he's talking about catfouling too much. Like, quite frankly, I think that that's the leader requiring more of both of those guys. Like, I saw some things during the game last night, especially when Cat was at the five and Rudy was out, that I'm like, Cat, you can still cover that. Like, you know, maybe, like, dude, you guarding Royce O'Neal, he at the free throw line, drop one extra step, you could take that layup away D-Book just got, and things like that. However, Cat is not a defensive-minded player, so to try to nitpick at all of those little things, it's pointless to do, you know. And in saying that, I think what Anthony Edwards has required from those guys has allowed them to take the next step in their careers. A young 22-year-old basketball player, superstar, phenom, whatever you want to call him, I personally can tell when something is being required from a leadership perspective. And the way Cat is attempting to defend, like Cat was chasing Kevin Durant around. Naz Reid was chasing Kevin Durant around. These guys ain't do that before. And yes, I do give Chris Finch his credit as a coach. I do think, you know, he's a good coach. But man, in the NBA at the point of their careers that those guys are at, ain't no coach making you slide your feet like Rudy Gobert sliding his feet now and Cat attempting to defend. That's a guy who you out there with saying, yo, this is what I need, and you don't want to continue to hear from that guy. And Ant definitely gives me that demeanor. And I think what he's feeding to those guys, like, yes, his play was stellar. But I think what he's feeding to those guys is even more important because his play could be as stellar as it wants. If he ain't got those guys playing the way they're playing, it's the same old Timberwolves. What's changing is his demeanor and changing all of those guys. And now you look at that team, and that was a far more complete team than the Phoenix Suns. If I'm honest, that's a far more complete team than the Denver Nuggets. We'll get into the Denver Nuggets a little later in this show, but that team that we just watched that are the Minnesota Timberwolves is a complete team. Now, Anthony Edwards has had the luxury of bringing in, over the last year and a half, a veteran point guard like Mike Conley. And I know Ann is pulling things from him, and that's huge. But we've seen Mike Conley with star big men before not be able to get it done. So I got to give that credit to Anthony Edwards, man. Now, not taking nothing from Mike Conley. Mike Conley has been a mainstay in this league for a long time. We've had battles with teams that Mike Conley's been on. I got nothing but love and respect for Mike Conley. And this is not a hit at all to Mike Conley, but more so the praise of Anthony Edwards. That kid is special. And what he's doing, it's no surprise. You know why? Because he said all along, this is what he believes and this is what he was going to do. And he just going to do it now. And so I think, man, that was beautiful to watch. Anthony Edwards is the star that I've believed he could be since day one. And that I'm sure a lot of people did believe he could be. Still remember trying to figure out how to trade up from 2-1 and get Ant-Man. But, you know, special, special talent. So the question that comes next is what happens to the Phoenix Suns? What does this mean for the Suns' big three? Blah, blah, blah. Nothing. They'll come back in next year with that same big three, and hopefully they'll try to retool around that big three. Now, we knew coming into the year that not having a point guard was going to be a problem. that that was going to be an issue no matter what. And everybody said, no, Devin Booker can play the point. Brad Beal can play the point. And don't get me wrong, they can get you an offense, they can win you games, but they're not point guards. And being a point guard and trying to think, oh man, Kevin hasn't had a shot. Oh man, D Book hasn't had a shot. Or Brad, you know, D Book thinking, oh, Brad haven't had a shot. That's a totally different game you got to play than come down, all right, get to my spot, get us some good, get us a good shot. That's a totally different game you got to play. And quite frankly, it doesn't best suit those guys to play that game. Can they play that in spurts? Of course. But to play that game an entire season, that's a tall task that quite frankly proved to be one that they couldn't overcome. Because all year long, you know, you'd see them and they start to make a run and those guys are playing well. And then it just like fall off. And I think that is because, you know, the consistency in the style of play due to not having an initiator that you know, all right, this game, every night, this guy is getting us into X, Y, and Z. And I think that made all the difference. And so if you're the Phoenix Suns, the highest trade value you're going to have is Devin Booker. Do you want to move off your franchise player, Devin Booker? I highly doubt that. Matt Ishbia taking over as a new owner. I highly doubt he's going to come in and within a year move on from Devin Booker. D Book is also one of those special players that you just don't just move on from. But he will have the highest trade value of the three for a couple reasons. His age. Obviously his play, contract situation, you know, he's like got a couple years left, could sign an extension, all these things, but he's 27. And so he'll have the highest value of all of them. Brad's contract is big with the injury history. And, you know, some people will look and say, oh, he only had 9 points in his last game. We can't trade for him. So his value would be less than Book. KD's in year 18. So his value would be less than D Book. So with no draft picks in the next, they got a draft pick. I think the Suns had a 22nd draft pick this year, but outside of that, doesn't have another draft pick through 2030. So you don't have picks to move. And you don't really have many players to move outside of those three and two of those. Well, one, Brad value on a trade market probably wouldn't be as high with the salary that Brad has and then the new second apron and all those things coming into effect. That makes it tough there. Like I said, KD in year 18, you know, with a team not knowing where if he's even going to want to come there or blah, blah, blah. And so your biggest asset is Devin Booker. Do you move on from Devin Booker? Now, interestingly enough, we talked about Rudy Gobert. The Rudy Gobert trade completely killed the trade market because they took 5 first-round picks and then no one wants to ever do that again. So you even seen guys like Dame, I think, get moved for 2 or 3 first-round picks. So with Book, what's the most you can get and what's worth it? I don't think anything's worth it, but you have to assess everything when you're in the position that the Suns are in. Now, however, they've played together for 1 year. The books are what they are anyway. So my opinion, you got to come back with those guys. You got to try to retool around them, and you got to give it another go. The reality is none of these things really work in the first year, unless you're Golden State Warriors. Then they work in the first year. But none of these things really ever work in the first year. And so I'm not on the hype train, oh, it's over and they need to figure out and blah, blah, blah. And like, no, but you definitely have to go back to the drawing board. You know, I saw the whole Frank Vogel would be fired thing. Quite frankly, I think that was a decision that we all questioned as soon as it happened. I don't think any of us thought that Frank Vogel would be Monty's replacement until Frank Vogel's name came up and you're like, whoa. And so just in thinking back to that, I don't, you know, Kevin saying, I didn't know my role in the offense, and I don't know if Kevin said that or not. That was a quote that's been put out there from sources. You can never be so sure. Those sources oftentimes are correct. Frank Vogel's not an offensive coach. So Frank Vogel, I personally don't think was ever going to be the one to put all of those pieces into place from a standpoint that, A, we don't have a point guard. How can we make this work moving all of these different guys around and being creative? That's not what Frank Vogel does. And so I never expected that. And yet to see that come out, that's no surprise. Because Kevin's not someone that's just going to bring the ball up a la Book, a la Brad Beal and get his own. That's not what Kevin's going to do. So that does not shock me one bit. One bit. You didn't see Kevin coming off any pin downs to the elbow area, getting to his bag. That's when Kevin is most dangerous. When you get Kevin in those spots where, okay, I can't just raise up on you because you're too small. One dribble pull up, I can completely get rid of it. Like, you got to know the spots to get Kevin in. And to Kevin's credit, if that statement is true that Kevin said that, I agree. He did stand in the corner a lot. Now, I do know that Kevin will sometimes get upset and just go to the corner. But all year, he was just in the corner. And like I said, you watch their offense, and none of those plays was getting Kevin to the spots that he likes to get to. And I know the spots that he wants to get to the score. None of the sets that they were running were really getting him into those spots. And as great of a scorer as he is, he still needs the ball in the spots in order to be as efficient and productive as he can be. Get him to his spots and it's a wrap. Who's going to stop him? And so I never seen any of that.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And like I said, I'm not very surprised by it because I didn't, when the hire happened to Frank Vogel, I didn't view that as, uh-oh, their offense is about to be crazy. No, the first thought would be they're going to be a good defensive team. And quite frankly, their offense, they struggled in a lot of fourth quarters, and that usually tells you don't have a point guard to get you into the things that you need to get into. So in turn, it turns into like Book getting off or Brad trying to get to it, but how sustainable is that to do that for entire quarters? All of a sudden, you miss a couple and you go down, and that team's been playing team basketball. So nonetheless, I don't think it's over for the Suns' big three. Yes, every headline will be, what are they go next? Or is it over? Like, I don't think so. I think you got to try to retool around those guys. You bring Grayson Allen back. But you bring Grayson Allen back, if I'm honest, he got to come off the bench because you need a point guard. Now, you sign Isaiah Thomas for the rest of the season. I thought that he'd at least get a shot to try to see if he could take on some of the responsibility. We didn't see that. So, that's the Suns. Timberwolves moving on. I'm excited for the next series with the Timberwolves. We all think that it'll be the Denver Nuggets. Denver Nuggets also has their share of issues. Their bench is not it. They do not have a very good bench at all, and you need a bench to win championships. And I just don't know if their bench is going to get it done. Should be enough to get it done in this series. I think for sure it'll be enough to get it done in this series. But as you go deeper into the playoffs, the flaws that you have get more and more exposed. And if it's going to get exposed, it has to be this next round. It has to be by Anthony Edwards and the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now, all of the praise that I just gave to the Timberwolves and their bigs and Rudy Gobert and Cat and what they've done, what Anthony Edwards has done for them, in their next series, if they go on to face the Denver Nuggets, that will be put to the test with the big fella, Joker. And we will see. But right now, Timberwolves are looking like cut and dry the best, second best team in the West, arguably the first best team in the West. Like I said, just with their depth on, you know, with their depth, that puts them ahead of Denver. What brings them right back to Denver is Joker going to be like, I don't need no help. I mean, you need help. What'd he tell Rudy Gobert? Brother, I got 47. You need a double team. So it's going to come down to, can Rudy Gobert not stop him? Because you're not stopping Joker. But can he affect the game the way he was affecting the game in last series? That'll be a big thing. Ant going to do what he do. It was good to see Cat back out there and have a good series coming off that long layoff. Still fooled the Phoenix Suns and telling them that he was the most important player in the series. And Ant wasn't. That was a lie. Ant is and will be the most important player in the series. That's that. And moving on. The Knicks beat the 76ers 97-92 to take a 3-1 lead in the series. And the first question is, do I personally need to apologize to Jalen Brunson for saying he shouldn't dominate the ball? My answer is no. Here's why. Number one, some things that work in the first round, cool. They work in the first round, they won't work moving forward. It's funny because I had a conversation with a friend of mine last week, Benny Fowler. And I was talking to him actually about Jalen Brunson, and I was watching the Knicks. And I was like, man, I called him and I said, yo, tell me if I'm tripping. Like, Jalen Brunson is really good, and I feel like I have to believe how good he is. And although I've always believed how good he is, playing at the level that he be playing at is a different level than I always thought. I think most people thought. I mean, even when he signed for $100 million with the Knicks, everybody said that was a crazy deal and he was overpaid. So we're not going to act like it's just me. However, I called my boy and I'm like, man, I don't really know if I'm supposed to believe like Jalen Brunson, like, because I know better, Beans. Like, I know better. Like, I know that this gets to a certain level and it stops. Like, he can only do this up to a certain point being your number one option. But you look at him competing, he's smart and he's going to get smaller guard. And like, I kind of was in this role of like arguing for him, arguing against him, arguing for him, arguing against him. And that's how I feel about it. But, and so I'll say this, he does have my respect. He's always had my respect. That's not up for debate. What is up for debate is, can he carry a team to the promised land? By the way, the conference finals to me is not the promised land. We saw Trae Young go to the conference finals against these very New York Knicks. Well, dealing with the New York Knicks along the way. And to get to the conference final. And hasn't been back since. And so the conference finals is not the holy grail to me. So although that's a huge step for him to take him to the conference finals. I would take my hat, tip my hat to him. Respect. But that's not like the promised land to me. But I'll give him that. And so I went through this whole thing with my boy, and I'm like, I don't know. Like, 47 points, 10 assists, one turnover, 18 for 30 from the field. The one thing that was glaringly noticeable to me when I was watching the game was that Philly plays in, with Joel in the drop. And so what they did was just kept putting Joel in the pick and roll, and Jalen Brunson got whatever he wanted because he was in the drop. At some point, you got to move up the floor, build in the help, and make those other guys beat you. Now, they've shown that they could beat you, but are you going to let Jalen Brunson get 47, 10 assists, and only one turnover? The reason he only got one turnover is because that drop. There's no pressure on him. He coming off, and Jalen Brunson, when he come off the screen and there's nobody there, he's not even now looking at the guy in the drop no more. He now starts back paying attention to his guy, which is, let me lock him in back here so he can't get back to the front, square the ball up. Now he's locked in behind the play, and he gets whatever he wants. Floater, midi, that's where he lives. Not even at the three. He lives in those ranges. And so, of course, he's going to go off of there. But what happens if you bring the guy up to the level of the screen? They got to do something else, though. Like, Philly, you can't just stay in the drop just because it's Joel. How do you win like that? You got to do something else. Like, and then also, you got Joel Embiid, Tyrese Maxey. You got to score more than 92 points. Because if you hold a team to 97, see, here's the thing. The game plan, in theory, actually worked. You let Jalen Brunson get his 47, 10 assists. They scored 97 points. So, number one, you have to score more points. 92 points. They scored 97. You should win that game in the NBA. So, in theory, Jalen dominating the ball actually doesn't work. Because they only scored 97 points doing it. But you got to give him his credit because it worked to get a win. But if a team scored 97 and you got the MVP of the NBA on your team at home, where role players should be shooting better and making hustle play, and you only get 92 points, that's why you lose. So, The conundrum that I've been kind of caught in dealing with on Jalen Brunson, jury's still out. And again, I got nothing but love and respect for Jalen Brunson and love his game and respect his game, but I'm talking about to go to the promised land. Can he be your best player to go to the promised land? I don't know. But damn, is he balling. He doing it. Got to give him his credit. And when you look at the series, I personally think the series can still be turned around because I think Joel Embiid is that good. But Joel Embiid got to go be that good. Like, when you got the best player in the series, and right now Jalen Brunson is looking like the best player in the series, but I'm not doing that. Joel Embiid is the best player in the series. When you got the best player in the series, you always have a chance. And so I still think they have a chance because Joel can do that. But it's looking like it's over and they're ready to quit. We'll see. Knicks going back home. You see the way they invaded Wells Fargo yesterday? Oh, they going back home. Shut the streets of New York City down if they win this game 5 because it's a wrap. We shall see. Clippers versus the Mavericks was a very interesting one. Great game. Down 30 points. Come back. Still don't win. No Kawhi. Remember what I told y'all about them taking Kawhi up to the brink and then like, ah, he's out. You're playing a different team. No surprise to me that the Mavericks got down by 30 points. You know why? Because when you go into that game and you don't know if Kawhi Leonard is playing, Kawhi Leonard's that good, you have to prepare for Kawhi Leonard. Well, guess what? You prepare for a team that you're not playing against because they're a totally different team when Kawhi Leonard doesn't play. So they get down 30 points. Nonetheless, come roaring back. Why? Because you got two of the best scorers in our game, Kyrie Irving, Luka Doncic. They come roaring back, ends up not being enough. James Harden looked like the not James Harden didn't even look like Houston James Harden. James Harden looked like OKC James Harden. You know why he didn't look like Houston James Harden? Because Houston James Harden didn't shoot floaters for real. Houston James Harden did not shoot mid-range shots. Houston James Harden shot layups and threes. That looked like the OKC James Harden. And I thought it was very interesting because Dallas is going to have to figure out who's guarding James Harden moving forward. And why they're going to need to figure that out is because I personally don't think PJ Washington is the answer. PJ has shown to be a good defender, a guy that's willing to take on that role for this team, and I respect it. But he can't guard James Harden. Every time James Harden made one move, he looked like Ricky Rubio. Y'all remember that time Ricky Rubio was guarding James Harden? Like, if this is the real Ricky Rubio is guarding James Harden, forcing him to the... Like, crazy stuff. Crazy when I saw Ricky Rubio doing that. However, one move, and that's how P.J. Tucker looked. P.J. was behind James every time he crossed over, like way behind him and out the play. And he's banking on getting a shot contest, getting a block, coming from behind James Harden and getting a block. However, James doesn't shoot his floater like a normal floater. James kind of shoots his floater out like this and push it. And so there's no way you can get back to getting a block without fouling him, which we saw a couple and ones on the floater. But I was also a little disappointed in Dallas's defense from the standpoint of, like, Terrence Mann is on the floor. Somebody shrink the floor and make Terrence Mann beat you. James Harden can't just keep getting to the middle of the paint when no one else there shooting the floor. At some point, somebody who's guarding Terrence Mann, just come and stand there. I know where he's going. Go stand there. All right, great. He's going to throw the ball to Terrence Mann. If Terrence Mann beats us, great. We're supposed to go home. But to keep letting James get by PJ and just go into the floater and get whatever he wanted, nah, that can't work. PG hit some big shots from PG. Wanted all the smoke. And I also loved the type of time that PG was on. You know, PJ Washington had his whole thing, and I respect that too. But PG ain't forget. And see, it's always funny watching these young fellas have their moment and start talking because you start barking up the tree of the guys that have been doing this for a long time. And PG been doing that to guys for a long time. And PG got the last laugh. The three he hit over Derrick Jones in the corner. Insane. By the way, but let's move backwards a little bit. So PJ Washington, I personally don't think is the matchup for James Harden. And I think if they're going to have a chance of stopping James Harden, if James come out with that same mentality. Again, James is in year what, 16? 15? It's hard to do that every night. You know, but it is the playoffs. You get days in between. But if James is playing that same style of basketball, A, go help off Terrence Mann. Come on now, Jared Dudley. Jared Dudley always talk about how he got the game plans. Come on now, Duds. Let's see it. Going up against old T. Lou over there. You know, T. Lou a mastermind. Let's see it, Duds. We got to see these defensive game plans because James can't just get there and beat you like that. So if James is going to stay that aggressive, though, who's going to end up being the key in this series, who can actually stay in front of James, take the hit, the shoulder that James delivers, is Josh Green. Josh Green has not played much this series. He's played here and there. But he is the one guy who can actually stay in front and take the bump. PJ Washington can take the bump, but he didn't do a good job of staying in front. Now, you know, he may take on a challenge and say, I'm sitting down, but that didn't look good last night. And personally, I think Dallas should still take this series, especially with the uncertainty of Kawhi. I think the Clippers are better off not playing Kawhi the rest of the series. You got to see what you got. You got to also be certain with your guys because you don't want guys like, oh, he playing this game. Oh, no. This ain't the regular season. This is the playoffs. Coming in and out of the lineup is tough, can be tough to adjust. And one game, one play changes a series. So If I'm them, they need to just be certain with what they got. You still got James. You still got PG. And you still got Russell Westbrook. You still got two MVPs and a perennial MVP candidate. Should still be able to go out there and compete, possibly win the series. But I wouldn't keep mixing Kawhi in and out. And then also wishing Kawhi well. We never want to see that. And last but not least, on this episode of the Draymond Green Show, is the Lakers beat the Nuggets to extend the series. They will play again tonight in Denver, game five. Do they have a chance to come back? Yes, they have a chance to come back. And I'll tell you why I don't think they're coming back. But they do think they have a chance. Number one, D'Angelo Russell played well. Lakers can win. Lakers win at a high level when D'Angelo Russell played well. So D'Lo just got to take that on the chin and go play well. Can't have a game here, a game there. This is the playoffs. Go play well again tonight, D'Lo. The reason I think the Lakers have a chance is because, again, their bench is not good. Denver's bench is not good. So that is something they've been able to play at this whole series. They've been leading the whole series. They just ain't won. Finally got a win. So I think they can come back. I don't think it's likely that they're going to come back, but I definitely think so. Because all of a sudden, Jamal Murray, calf strain, questionable. If Jamal Murray doesn't go tonight, or if he is 100% and Lakers take the series back to L.A. 3-2, probably winning game six. So then it's a game seven. It's a coin flip. So I think the Lakers can do it. I see everybody talking to LeBron does this. He's the GOAT. Not sure. I hate when people try to make one instant, oh, if you do this, then you're the GOAT. But if not, then what is he like to, what? You know, so like these people be crazy with all this stuff. But I definitely think it's possible. Denver's bench is a huge concern. However, as possible as it is, I got Joker coming out tonight, sending them boys home, finishing their breakfast, moving on. But if anybody can do it, take it from me. Bron can pull it off. So we shall see. But I got that one ending tonight. However, shout out to D-Ham, man, getting the guys to respond the way he responded. Everybody trying to throw D-Ham under the bus. I hate it. That's whack to me. But he got the guys to respond, and they got another chance. So we shall see what happens. I got that one ending tonight in five. And that is a wrap from this episode of the Draymond Green Show. Excuse me. That's all, folks. Peace.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.